This is the Light for Living broadcast from the First Baptist Church in Brayton. We welcome you to listen to our service today. We hope you enjoy the broadcast.
Oh Lord my God.
Bring the Lord, thou bring the
Continue in our sermon series entitled Raising Our Commitment. Last Sunday we were in Philippians chapter 4. We looked at verses 6 and 7 and we thought through the idea of raising our commitment to prayer. One of the problems with why prayer is misunderstood is that so few people know God well enough to be closely associated with Him in prayer. And since no one of us is as closely associated with Him as we ought to be, prayer in at least some part is partially confusing to all of us. The Apostle Paul gave the Philippian church a very concise doctrine of what true prayer looks like and how it works. We looked at three aspects of true prayer in the believer. The first was the nature of prayer. We looked at the fact that prayer is conversation with God, that it's a communication back and forth between us and Him. We stated that prayer is for believers only, that it's a relationship that results because we're at peace with God. Therefore, by prayer, we can have peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding. We talked about the quality of prayer and that the fact that our prayer is always directly related to sin in our life, either good or bad, that our prayer and the quality of that is always related to sin. And then we looked at the reason for why we pray. It's because of worry. It's because of anxieties. It's because of things that stress us out. We also looked at the barrier to prayer. We talked about sin, that sin, so to speak, is the barrier between our prayers going to God. Scripture says that if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The best way to deal with that is to deal with the sin, thus opening the communication between us and God. And then we looked at the doctrine of prayer that Paul specifically gives in that passage. Every one of us has a biblical obligation to be praying. I trust that this past week that you have spent time praying, pleading with God, going before the throne of grace, making those things that are near and dear to your heart known to Him, asking Him to give you peace and comfort and encouragement that passes all understanding. God desires that we talk to Him, and one of the direct results of prayer is the peace of God. As I stated last week, the church at peace is the church in prayer. May we be a church that prays. We close with a challenge to strive to spend more time in prayer in 2017, understanding that God desires to talk to us and answer our prayers with peace. You should be in Acts chapter 17. Would you look with me at verses 10 through 15 this morning? Acts chapter 17. I'm going to begin reading, pick up the context here in Acts chapter 17, beginning in verse 10 and read down through verse 15. You follow along as I read. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word of God with all readiness, and they searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks and prominent women as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was preached by Paul at Berea, they came also and stirred up the crowds. Then immediately the brethren sent Paul to go out by sea, And both Silas and Timothy thus remained there. So those who conducted Paul brought him to Athens, and receiving a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed, they departed. This morning we're going to look at how those in Berea treated the Word of God. We're going to consider this morning raising our commitment to God's Word. The most basic essential for any healthy church, and more important for the follower of Jesus Christ today, is a commitment to reading, to hearing, and to heeding the Word of God. With that, let's look to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, how thankful you are for the privilege that we have to be gathered here, for the opportunity that we have to open the Word of God, free of distractions, free of worry. Father, that we have the entire Word of God before us, that we're not waiting for more of it to yet arrive. We've been given the complete and full canon of God's Word. And so, Father, may we, as we open up the Word of God today and we look at it, may you show yourself true as you do each and every time that we open it. May we leave today not just simply with a truth about God or a truth that comes from the Word of God, but, Father, may we leave with a greater understanding how the Word of God can truly change our lives. And, Father, as we think through the Word of God this morning, may we ask ourselves this: are we truly as devoted to the Word of God as we should be? Do we spend enough time in it? Father, may you hide your servant behind the cross this morning. Be with the message that you've laid upon my heart. It would be faithful in communicating that this morning, that the Word of God would go forward in power this morning. May the Holy Spirit speak to each and every one of us through the reading of His Word. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I've entitled this morning's message, Raising Our Commitment to God's Word. We have a craving for information, do we not? We have a craving for information. Sports fans read sports magazines, sometimes more than once. Politically minded people, they read political news magazines from cover to cover. They study to know what their current favorite politician likes or doesn't like. Carpenters, they read house plans and blueprints over and over and over again to make sure that the information is accurate, that it's clear. Doctors and nurses, they read medical journals and medical panels and reread the records of your medical history over and over and over again because they want to know how to help you. Yet there are millions of people in the world today who claim to be Christians or even believers in Jesus Christ, and they never pick up a Bible and read it. Valentine's Day is this week, and people all around the world will express their love to each other through someone else's words in a card. Some couples, they'll write love letters to each other, all because they want to hear flattering words of love from their spouse. Folks, can I tell you something? This is God's Valentine to you. It's God's love letter that He wrote to you. If the Holy Spirit lives in our hearts today as we preach, as we believe that He does, doesn't it make you have a longing and a hungering to read the Word of God? To help your relationship with Him to grow stronger? Shouldn't there be a constant desire not just to know more of the Bible? You can know the Bible from cover to cover in content and not know it cover to cover in person. The person of Jesus Christ, the person of God. You can read it through and through and know everything there is and still miss the most important thing, a relationship. Perhaps there's no hunger for God and for His Word. And we need to examine our hearts this morning to find out why. Why is there not a hunger? Why is there not a learning and a yearning to know the Word of God? As I already said, the most basic essential for any healthy church is a commitment to hearing, to learning, and to applying the Word of God. At the time of the first church, this meant listening to the apostles' teaching and reading the scriptures they had up to the point, which was the Old Testament law. Thankfully, we have the New Testament today. Go with me, put your bulletin or put your outline here. We'll come back to this passage for just a moment. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, the very first church, and I want to read something very specifically about the first church that made that first church so used of God. There was so much in the early church that God did, and we miss this over and over again. Look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 42 with me, if you would, this morning. The signs of the first church growing, and we read there, and with many other words, verse 40, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from a perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added. But I want you to look at verse 42. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers." You notice the words there, "they continued steadfastly." That means two things this morning. One is that the apostles were faithful in their responsibility to preach and teach. And God's people ought to say amen. Because you're a direct result this morning of somebody else's preaching and teaching of the Word of God that goes back to the apostles in Acts chapter 2 that preached the message of Jesus Christ. You're part of that. Aren't you thankful that they taught what was truth and not error? Let me go a little bit further. Not only was it that, but the believers were faithful, and it says here that they continued in. They continued steadfastly in. That's the idea that they continued to learn and to grow in what was being taught. I need to step off from the pulpit for just a moment to say this. What you get from the pulpit and the Word of God on a Sunday morning is not enough to live the Christian life. You need to be in the Word of God every single day on your own. Sunday morning services, they're not to come and to fill up your basket, so to speak, so you have something to eat off of the rest of the week. It's to come and to get you to think about the Word of God, to get you to study it, to go into it with the attitude, "I want to learn more." If we did, we'd be a whole lot more likely to not shy away from biblical questions we get answered in the secular world. Because we know the Word of God. We're in it. The people in the early New Testament days of the church, they were convinced that the depth of their devotion to the Word of God would determine the impact that they had for Jesus Christ. And I can tell you today, the depth of understanding of the Word of God that you have today can change the world for Jesus Christ. Do you know the Word of God? Are you in the Word of God? This idea of raising our commitment to the Word of God. In our text that we have here in Acts chapter 17, if you're not there, go back. Acts chapter 17. You see the example of what happens when people respond correctly to the Word of God. Here in this passage, you find several principles which can help us not only to discover truth. When we come to the Word of God, we're discovering truth. We're uncovering it, so to speak. But when you uncover the truth of God's Word, God intends for us to apply it. Not just to know it. It's great to know that God created the world, but if you don't apply that to everyday life, what good is it? Acts chapter 17, verses 11 and 12 is where I'm going to focus primarily this morning. We read these verses already, but I want to read them again. Verses 11 and 12. "These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word of God with all readiness, and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women as well as men." I want to share with you this morning and ask you this question. Are you as devoted to being instructed from God's Word as you should be? Are you devoted to being instructed from the Word of God? One person said it this way, "You're always a student no matter how old you are." All of us are students of the Word of God. You have yet to master the course that God has set in front of you. You don't have an A next to your name. Most of us would be lucky if we had a passing grade. But the point is, God intends for us to know His Word. And I want to share with you this morning three principles for the believer regarding God's Word. How we can raise our commitment to it. And these three principles come right out of the text here in Acts chapter 17. The first is this, the first of these principles. They received the Word. They received the Word. You look at verse 11, "Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness." And you say this morning, well, what does that mean that they were of more noble character? Originally, the word noble meant well-born or spoken of nobility. Later on, the word also came to mean people of a generous spirit, those who were open-minded towards truth, not prejudiced, not hostile, not suspicious of others, but those who give others a fair hearing. The Bereans, therefore, they were called noble because they listened to the preaching of the gospel with open hearts as the apostles proclaimed God's truth. And they pursued that. The people in Berea were more noble, first of all, because they received the message. Our text says that they received the word with eagerness. There was an openness to the God's word as it was preached to them. Let me ask you this morning, are you open to whatever God's word tells you today? Are you open to that? If God's word, as we open it this morning, told you that your life was messed up, would you be open-minded to that, or would you zone out the word of God? Are you open to what the word of God has to say? They were open and they were eager. There was an intenseness to this word of God that was preached. Notice what it says. They received the word with eagerness. They had an anticipation and expectancy that God was going to speak specifically to them. If we were genuinely sincere that every time the Word of God is preached, or we read the Word of God in our devotions, and we came to it with the mindset, God is going to speak to me, we wouldn't miss an opportunity, would we? That was awful quiet. We wouldn't miss an opportunity if we really thought God was going to speak to us, would we? But you know how we come to a church service? We come to the church service, well, I'll sit towards the front so I can pass what I hear backward. And the person at the back of the auditorium is the one that really needs it. Can I tell you something this morning? You need to come to church with the mindset that when God speaks, He's probably speaking to me. Because God's Word is alive and powerful, amen? You're alive and powerful today because of God's work in your life. Let the Word of God that's living and powerful pierce your heart once in a while. Let God speak to you. He desires to. They receive the Word with eagerness, with expectancy. Could that be said of you today as you sit here and you listen to the Word of God as it's preached? Are you open? Are you eager to hear it? That was what set the Bereans apart. There was a readiness. There was a receptivity to the Word of God. These are the characteristics which made them a cut above those that rejected the truth in Thessalonica. But I wonder how many of us come to church today with the expectation that God was going to speak to us. Perhaps coming to church has become merely a habit, and so little thought is given as to why we are here. We need to come into this place with the expectation that God will speak to us every time. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, we need to come with an eagerness of mind, with an openness of heart to hear what God has to say. Not what I have to say as your pastor, what God says. These qualities were cultivated in us. This will be a place of great work of God. Because we're listening to His Word. We're waiting for the voice of God. The beginning of every message, we take the opportunity to pray. We ask the Lord to bless our time in His Word. However, that's not the most important thing that we ask Him for. We ask Him to bless our time in His Word. We ask that He would reveal truth to us. But more importantly, the most important thing that we ask Him to speak to us through His Word. But what a lie that is if we ask for Him to speak and we aren't willing to make a change. We need to hear the Word of God. We need to hear the voice of God. When we pray to God to speak to us, that sense of anticipation, that expectancy, it comes alive in our hearts so that we, like the Bereans, we're ready to receive the Word with eagerness. But here's the thing. If you and I are not reading the Bible on a regular basis, we will never know its truth. According to the Barna Research Group, less than 50% of Americans open their Bible in a given week. 82% think that God helps them that help themselves is recorded in their Bible. 63% cannot name the four Gospels. 58% do not know that Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount. And 52% do not know that Jonah is in the Bible. Reminds me of the story I heard about a religious woman who had to do a lot of flying for her work. Air travel made her extremely nervous, so she always took a Bible along with her to read since it helped her relax on long flights. One time she found herself sitting next to a man who chuckled and then smirked as she pulled her Bible out of her bag. After a while, he turned to her and he asked, "You don't really believe all that stuff in there, do you?" The lady replied, "Of course I do. It's my Bible." "Well, what about that guy who was swallowed by the whale?" the man joked. She replied, "Oh, Jonah, yes, I believe that. It's in the Bible." Still smirking, the man asked, "Well, how do you suppose he survived for that amount of time inside that whale?" The lady replied, "Well, I don't really know. I guess when I get to heaven, I'll ask him." "What if he isn't in heaven?" asked the man, sarcastically. To which the lady answered, "Then you can ask him." You see, the Word of God can make a great impact on our life. The Word of God being received with all eagerness is something that you and I should do. This lady, she received the Bible. She understood, this is the Word of God. Every single page in here is God's Word to me. And I don't have to understand all of it to know God and to live for God. If that was the case, I'm going to be looking for a new job tomorrow. Because I, as your pastor, don't know all of it. But do I understand and accept it as God's living, breathing Word? That it's true, that it's not full of error, that it's God's words. That lady was just as devoted as the early believers in the church, the Bereans, to know the Word of God. Not only did the Bereans receive the Word of God with eagerness, but number two, they researched the Word. They researched the Word. Point number two, it says, and they received the Word with all readiness, and they searched the Scriptures daily. They researched the Word. Not only did the Bereans first receive the Word, they researched it. They received the Word because they were of ready mind. They researched the Word because they had a high regard for truth. If you look at the end of that verse, you see that they examined the Scriptures is literally the idea. They pulled it apart. They searched to see if what Paul was really saying was true. These Bereans weren't content with the word of man. Do not ever come to a place where you are content to listen to the words of a man. No matter how good, no matter how godly he is, listen to the word of God. Because folks, I'm just a man. This is God's word. Man is faulty. God is not. Listen to God speak. Find out what he has to say. They were not content with the word of man. The reason of a mere mortal was not enough for them. They wanted to make sure that what they were reading, what they were hearing, they wanted literally, if I can say it this way, that thus says the Lord. They wanted that surety that what they were being taught, what was being preached, was accurate, that it was true. And so it says that they searched the Scriptures daily to see if what they were being taught was true. I've never had anybody call me on a Monday morning in my office and say, "Pastor, I researched what you preached on yesterday, and here's a couple of things." Huh? You know why? Because we don't search it. We take it for granted. Search the Scriptures daily is what it says that they did. The Bereans, they listened to Paul preach, and they receive it. And they are, and we're told here that they did so daily. Just as the Israelites had to go out and they gathered manna daily, so the duty and privilege of every Christian to study the Word of God is to gather truth from it every single day. You see that they examined the Scriptures during their daily exposure to God's truth. It's interesting how many people on a Sunday morning from the pulpit I can see, I'll mention a passage of Scripture and your Bible goes clear to a different one because you're cross-checking what I'm saying with the Word of God. Praise God for that. That's what it means to search the Scripture. They would do that. If we were reading this morning in the King James, it says that they searched the Scriptures. But literally, a better interpretation of this passage is this, that they sifted the Scriptures through. How many of you know what a kitchen strainer is? You have a kitchen strainer at your house? It's interesting what a kitchen strainer does, doesn't it? You pour something in there, we do all the time. We make macaroni and cheese for the girls, and you dump those noodles out into that strainer, and all the water goes out. And when you get done, the only thing left is those noodles. It sifts out the water. They went to the Word of God, so to speak, with that sifting process. And they went through as the man in Psalm chapter 1 says, Blessed is he whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. They were constantly thinking, constantly mulling over the scriptures. They pored over the Bible. They compared scripture with scripture, which is what we're told to do. They evaluated the word in light of what they heard from the apostles by the absolute counsel of God's word. And that is precisely what we need to do. Let me ask you a question this morning. Is God's word the final authority for your life? Is his word the final authority for your life? I hope that it is. I hope that it is. I hope it's not one of those things where you treat the word of God like you do Reader's Digest. And whichever you like more, you apply. Whichever sounds better, you apply. Because oftentimes that's what we do with the word of God. It's an authority, but it's not the authority on our lives. Let me ask you, do you welcome the message of the gospel as the Bereans did? Do you study it daily with passion, with enthusiasm, with zeal, with delight, with hunger? They studied the law. That's all they had. But they did so with excitement. They went to the book of Leviticus and we're going to learn something about God today. The last time I heard somebody say that in a church was a long time ago. We don't get excited about studying the Word of God. We don't get excited about searching it because the Word of God is not interesting to us. What we see here is a strong statement for the doctrine of the priesthood of the believer. Notice here, with me if you would. It says, in that they, plural, received the Word with all readiness and they searched the Scriptures. Guess what? It wasn't just man. It wasn't just woman. It wasn't just teenager. It wasn't just children. It was all of them. And what that speaks to today is this. The priesthood of the believer is alive and well, amen? Every one of us can come to the Word of God and go through the Word of God, and we can understand what God says in the Word of God because of the Holy Spirit working through the message of God in our lives. Praise God for that. You don't have to come to me and sit down in my office and say, Pastor, I don't know what this means. The Holy Spirit's inside of you to help you come to the conclusion. If you need help, I'm here. But the Holy Spirit helps you understand the truth of God's Word. The Bereans searched the Scriptures because they knew they could hear from God. Oh, if we would just grasp that. Can you hear God today? Can you honestly hear God today when you come to the Word of God? See, it doesn't take a theologian or a member of a clergy to interpret the Word of God for you. He gives us the Holy Spirit to understand it. But friends, if we don't do this daily, if we don't daily search the Scriptures, we either just accept what someone else says is truth and we're led into error, or we won't hear what God is saying to us in the first place and thereby we fail to obey Him. These Bereans, they searched the Scriptures daily. Tell you what, they had a devotional life that would put many of us to shame. Because they had Strong's Concordance out, they had their Bibles, dictionaries out, they had all the books out, and they were searching. They wanted to know daily. We only do that when we're studying to teach Sunday school. They did it daily. They wanted to know the Word of God. They received the Word, they researched the Word. Number three, they responded to the Word. Look at verse 12. Therefore, many of them believed. Many of the Jews believed, as did a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. These people received the word because they were of ready mind. They researched the word because they regarded the truth. And third, they responded to the word because they knew it was direct revelation from God. Notice that the result of their research ended in a response. Many believed. It was because of their research that they responded. Notice, too, that many believed. It wasn't just a few. These Bereans responded to the Word because they received the revelation from God as they researched in the Scriptures on a daily basis. They responded because they were steadfastly devoted to living out what they learned. They wanted to live it out. They wanted to be a good example of what a Christian was. Ponder this for just a moment in comparison to the Christian life today. The Bereans wanted to hear from God. Many people today, we want to hear from God, just like the Bereans did. But the point is this, The Bereans wanted to hear from God so they could live for God. You know why we as believers today want to hear from God? So we can fill our head with information, with knowledge. It's amazing the things that we can fill our minds with from the Word of God and never live out. Never even strive to live out. They wanted to hear from God because they wanted to live it out. So many people today, they want to hear from God before they decide whether or not they're going to obey what they hear. But can I tell you something? They will never hear until they're willing to obey. You see, there's a moral element involved whenever we hear truth. Over and over, Jesus said, "He who has an ear, let him hear." When I looked this morning as you came in, all of you had two ears. So you're hearing the same word of God that I'm hearing. He who has an ear, let him hear. But not everyone is serious about hearing because not everyone is serious about obeying what they hear. In 1 John 7 and verse 17, in John 7 and verse 17, it says, "If any man is willing to do his will, he shall know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself." A person must be willing to do God's will in order to have discernment to hear from God. There's a moral element involved in hearing truth. God's will really isn't all that difficult for us to figure out. The more difficult matter is our will. Are we willing to obey what he says? Friend, are you willing to do his will once he's revealed it to you? The real question we need to answer is that. Are we willing to obey when he reveals it? Let's be like the Bereans. Let's receive the word of God because we're ready of mind. Let's research the word because we have a high regard for truth. And finally, perhaps most importantly, let's respond to the word because we've received revelation from God and how he wants us to obey him. And you say this morning, "That's great, Pastor, but how?" I want to give you this morning, in the time that we have left, three action steps believers can take to become fully devoted to being instructed from the Word of God. The practical side of a sermon. I don't do this very often, but I want you to grasp this. Here's another way to look at how to become fully devoted to instruction from God's Word. First of all, get the Bible into our head. Then we need to get it into our heart. And finally, we need to make sure that it gets lived out through our hands. That's exactly what the Bereans did. Notice your scriptures. They received the word with all readiness. They got it in their head. They searched it in their heart. And then it says in verse 12 that they believed. They lived it out. That's what they chose to do. They chose to live out the word of God. We get the Bible into our head by getting into it. The word resides in our heart when we let it get into us, and it's fleshed out in our daily lives through our hands when we live it out obediently. Information about the Bible in our heads is not enough. Some of you could tell me at this particular moment what's in Lamentations 3. Some of you could tell me right now the context of 1 Samuel chapter 16. You could tell me all of that. And it's a good starting point, but we can't stay there. We have to move from an information to inward transformation that takes place in the heart. This inward transformation that leads to an outward reformation as we determine to live out what we know in our heads and what we believe in our hearts. The Bible is not just a textbook to be studied, amen? I remember our Bible college professors, when I was at Faith, they told us over and over again, the Word of God is not a textbook. But oh, how hard that is at a Bible college when it seems like it's the main textbook for every single class. Can I tell you something? Today I don't see that book as a textbook. I see it as the Word of God. If anything, it's a textbook for my life and how I'm to live. But you think about this. God, it uses the Word of God. He uses His Word today to change hearts, to change lives, doesn't He? And stop and say this. He changes my heart and He changes my life as I read His Word. It's not everybody else around me, it's me too. You see, when that exposure to God's truth First, it has to inform the head. Then it's got to transform the heart. And finally, it has to reform the way that we live. Let me give you some action steps this morning. These three specific areas, I've already listed them off. But getting the Word into your head. Getting the Word of God in your head. Scripture says, if I hide the Word of God in my heart, it'll help me not to sin. When you hide the Word of God in your heart, it has to go somewhere first before it's hidden in your heart. Getting the Word of God into your head, the best way to get the Bible into your head is to look for ways to be exposed to daily truth. I know of people, truckers, they're on the road 7 days a week and they're driving. Do you know how they're exposed to the Word of God? They have Bible on CD. They put it in and they listen to it. And some of those men know more about the Bible than people that are at church on a Sunday morning. You know why? They're exposed to the Word of God. And the Word of God works. We have to be exposed. The primary way for us to be exposed to the Word of God is to read it every single day. There's really no other way for this to happen. Most of you have heard this many times. But I don't know how else to get into our heads other than that we must get in the Word of God. Now, some of you might be thinking, I've tried this before. I've read the Bible, but frankly, I'm a bit bored. I'm stuck in a rut. I don't know where to go. If this is close to what you're thinking this morning, may I suggest that you're not alone? There are other people just like you, and let me give you a suggestion. Perhaps maybe it's because of the translation you're reading. Some translations of the Bible are hard to read. They're hard to grasp the truth of God's Word. Maybe you need to find a different one, one that's easier to understand. To help you grasp and hide the Word of God in your head. Maybe you need to follow a reading plan or use a Bible that's arranged in daily readings so that you can read through the Bible in the entire year. I like to read about famous people throughout Christian history, and it amazes me some of the testimonies of people down through the years that read the Word of God. Many of you know George Mueller, a man who started a number of orphanages, a man that had a tremendous impact for the kingdom of God. It was said of his lifetime that he read the entire Bible 200 times in his life. You know what they say about reading something? You read it 50 times and usually you have it memorized. How much of the Word of God did George Mueller not just know, but live? If he read the Word of God 200 times in his life. While the primary way to get the Word into our head is through regular Bible reading, let me give you some secondary ideas. Ideas that help supplement your exposure to the truth. Committing to attending morning and evening Sunday worship services where the Word of God is proclaimed. And I understand that's difficult for some because of work. But come with the expectancy you want to hear from God. Fill your brain, fill your head full of the Word of God so it can get to your heart and come to your hands in the way that you live. Commit to attending Sunday school. We have wonderful Sunday school material that God uses in great ways. It's God's Word. Put in a way that you can study it. It's attractive. It's exciting. Put the Word of God in your head. Get the Word of God into your head. We need to keep going. Get it into your heart, number two. Get it into your heart. The challenge is to move from your head to your heart. Depending on how tall you are, that distance can be anywhere from 18 inches to 2 feet. But can I tell you something? That is the hardest thing for a believer, is to get from the head to the heart. The Word of God, hiding the Word of God in our heart. We get so familiar with the Scripture that it no longer impacts us. John 3:16 no longer impacts us because we don't see a world that needs God's love. We don't see a world that God loved while still in sin. If we did, it would change us. We get familiar with Scripture, it no longer impacts us. And in order for an inner transformation to take place, we must seek ways to allow the Word of God to get into our heart. One way that may help you, and this is just one, is to start journaling. I know that sounds ridiculous. Men say, I don't journal. Journal the Word of God? What are you talking about? I don't. That's for my wife. Can I tell you something? It's a simple process that perhaps could be very, very helpful for you. In the mornings, take your Bible and a notebook and ask God to speak through His Word to you. Read the passage. Maybe you write down a bunch of it. Maybe you write down one verse. But you write down something and you ask the Lord to help you live that out. Maybe you memorize it. Sometimes maybe one particular phrase in a verse jumps out at you and you write that down. And that becomes a springboard for prayer and reflection. Psalm 119 and verse 11 says that we can be kept from sin as we memorize and meditate on God's word, that we let it have residence in our hearts. Let's look for ways to do this, but let's not stop there. Let's move from the head to the heart to the hands. Living it out with your hands. Friends, let me make and say this bluntly this morning. God gave us the Bible not just so that we could fill our heads, not just so that we could fill our hearts, but so that we could take what He's written and live it out. And as we do that, we'll be known not only as people who honor the Word of God, but also as people who live by God's Word. Let's determine to live out what we know is true regardless of the cost, no matter what the pain, without regard of the consequences. Let's just do it. We need to close this morning. What is God asking you to do this morning? Perhaps for some of you, God is using His Word to get your attention. He wants you to stop doing something that you're doing currently that you know you shouldn't be doing. Don't ignore Him. Live out what you know in your head and in your heart to be true. We started this morning with some questions about Bible content. Now I'd like to ask you some questions that have to do with our heads, our hearts, and our hands. If you really are ready to raise your commitment to the Word of God, and you say, "That's me," and to follow the model that the Berean believers had towards the Word of God that we looked at this morning, then your answer to the following three questions should be, "I will." Here's the questions. Will you receive the Word with eagerness by doing whatever it takes to get it into your head? I wonder, could you say audibly this morning, "I will"? Question number two. Will you research the Word with regularity and get it into your heart? Will you research? Will you search? Will you sift? Will you examine the Word of God? Get it into your heart. Hopefully you could say this morning, "I will." And the last question, will you respond to the Word with obedience by living it out with your hands? Can you say, "What I know, I live"? If that was the case for many of us as believers, our lives would change radically because we know way more than we live. How much of the Word of God do you live? Strive to spend more time in 2017 by reading, by hearing, and heeding the Word of God. Let's close in prayer. Father, how thankful you are.
If you would like to join us for our Sunday services, we have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. for all ages, morning worship at 10:30 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. You can also join us on Wednesday evenings for prayer and Bible study at 7 p.m. We hope that you enjoyed the Light for Living broadcast from the First Baptist Church in Brayton today.